The Lord. I think it's so good that we can. The Lord has given us. You okay? We're good now, right? Okay, that's to wake up all the people in the back, right? I think it's good that we still have this opportunity to gather together and to have fellowship, especially in regards to the Lord's coming. Right? The fact that we are still here together means the Lord has given us extra time to prepare. I don't know if many of you heard, I know just before we left the U.S. to come here, there were lots of YouTube videos. People were asking us, John, did you hear about the rapture date to be September 23rd of this year? Did any of you get that kind of news out here? Yeah, some of you have. And for me, I did not watch any of those videos because Sharon and I were busy preparing for our time here in Asia. Right? It's it was really the Lord's sovereign arrangement for us to come out here to be together with the saints in Korea. Yeah? Okay. And everyone on Zoom can hear, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Is the mic I'm wearing for Zoom or for the, or for here? Okay. Then what mic are you using for Zoom? The same one? Okay. That one also. Okay. Great. Okay. So where were we? Okay. Signs of times. So once the sixth seal is open, you all remember when we talked about the timeline. When the sixth seal is open, and this is described in Revelation 6, where there will be this great earthquake that will move all the mountains and the islands. There'll be things falling out of heaven. There will be a severe, I mean, it's a real shaking of the whole earth. And it's after the opening of the sixth seal where we'll see the rapture of not only the man-child, the overcomers, but also important to us is the matter of the first fruits, that the first fruits would be raptured. So these three events hasn't happened yet. So that means the Lord has given us extra time to prepare. Right? And I think this has really been the fellowship for us in North America, around the world. I think many of us are realizing the emphasis now is how do we prepare for the Lord's coming? On the internet today, when you look at what's being talked about out there, is it's about the Lord's coming and that the whole church would be raptured to the heavens before the opening of the great day of God's wrath. Right? And because of that kind of teaching, no one talks about how to prepare for the Lord's coming. Right? I know many of you are listening to the podcasts. One of the reasons why we were burdened to speak concerning preparing for the Lord's coming is because there is really no content. Whether you're listening to Spotify, listening to YouTube, there really is no content speaking about the Lord's, how to prepare for the Lord's coming. And so this is really the fellowship this weekend, is how do we get ready for the Lord's coming? How does it look in our daily life? And I think it's really good that we are in second to the last chapter of the book in Revelation. Right? We are now, if you read the title of this conference, it's God's Ultimate Masterpiece, the Holy City, the Heavenly Jerusalem, the Lamb's Wife. Right? There's two questions that it seems like I always get asked when we are fellowshipping about this, and I wanted to address these two questions. The first question is, how is Revelation 21 related to us today? And the other question is, how is the Holy Priesthood related to Revelation chapter 21? I think these two questions are actually very good to ask, because It's like, you know, we've been focused on the goal. How many of you remember what is the goal for the Christians today? We always talk about it. What's the goal of the Christian life? You remember? Come on. First fruits, to mature early, to be qualified to do what? Come on. God saved us to do what? To become kings and priests. Come on. You should all know this, right? No? Did we already forget from 2 years ago? I hope not. Okay. For those who might not remember or may not be so clear, let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Why don't you read this together right now? Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Go. And? All Christians appreciate to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. But does it stop there? No, it doesn't stop there, because it continues on. It says, and has made us kings and priests. To his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So kings and priests, this is the ultimate goal of the Christian life. We should not forget this. Right? This is our official, our highest calling. This is our profession today. God has saved us so that we would grow and mature to become kings and priests when he returns. How do we know? Let's go on to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Let's read this again. If you all can read this, please. And they sang
a new song, saying,
"You are worthy. Right. And we shall reign on the earth. Right. So the Lord is trying to make a point with all of us, to remind us again. Right. Whenever we forget, God is repetitious. He's reminding us again that he not only redeemed us, but his desire is to make us kings and priests. And where should we reign? On the earth. Not in heaven. Right, so this should already tell you, whatever you see and hear on the internet today saying the whole church will be raptured to the throne and we will be with Jesus in heaven forever and eternity, well, this is not according to his word, because we shall reign on the earth. And if we go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Let's read this as well. Blessed. Right. Right. So again, it says, shall be priest of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Right? This is the goal. This is really God's plan for us for this coming millennial kingdom age. to reign together with Christ on earth for the thousand-year millennial kingdom age. I hope this is clear for everyone, right? We've been speaking about this at the conferences here for years, and this should not just be a teaching to us, but this should be a heavenly vision that guides us in our living, in our preparation for the Lord's coming. Right? And of course, if the goal is to make us kings and priests, can you become a king and a priest automatically? Just instantly, right? Johann, you studied to be a food scientist, right? Yeah. Were you instantly a food scientist? You know, you wake up one day and said, you declared yourself to be a food scientist? No. How many years did it take for you to train to become a food scientist? 4 years. That's 4 years university. But you also had all those years of education before you got to the university, right? And if you studied engineering, would you have been qualified to be a food scientist? Definitely not. Right? So if it takes you 4 years of university to attain a degree in food scientist, or for me to be an engineer, then of course it needs training. It definitely takes time to prepare to become an engineer or a food scientist or whatever profession you're working in. So now the question becomes is, so how do we become kings and priests? It's just not automatic. And unfortunately, this is not what's being discussed on in any of the internet channels today. When you look around, do a search. I challenge you to find anything out there that would speak about the Lord's, not only about the Lord's coming, but how to prepare for the Lord's second coming. Right? This is important. We don't want to miss aim. Right? Too many people that talk to me, and they always say this to me, John, you know, it's good enough for you to love the Lord and to preach the gospel. That's all you need to do. Is this what you hear also? I even had one brother that I knew from years past, and we connected again a few years ago. And he asked me, you know, what are you doing in your Christian life? And I would share it with him. The goal is to be kings and priests, to be first fruits, and to train in the holy and royal priesthood. And you know what he said to me? He said, why are you trying so hard? Just love God and preach the gospel. Right. This is mainstream Christianity today. And if you listen to that and you let that into your mind and into your heart, then there will be no sense of urgency to prepare for the Lord's coming. And this is why it's so good to be reminded again of what the goal is. But the Lord really wants to show us even more. He wants to show us his ultimate manifest, his ultimate masterpiece. And this is Revelation chapter 21. Right? Many of us are goal-oriented, right? Gimson, you have goals for your business. Yeah? Do you go to work just kind of aimlessly doing things? No. You have deadlines, you have specific objectives, you have specific goals. I think everybody has this, right? Daniel, even with you and your software engineer, you have definitely goals and objectives to meet. Right? And so we need to also realize that Revelation chapter 21 gives us insight into this heavenly plan that God has. Any plan, but this is his ultimate plan. To become kings and priests, this is our preparation today. But there's one more step that God wants us to do, and this is why he spent a whole chapter opening up and revealing to us what his ultimate plan is. And this is the holy city, the heavenly New Jerusalem, right? This is God's ultimate masterpiece. And if we're not aware of God's ultimate masterpiece, then we'll miss him. We'll not prepare as he wants us to prepare. The second question I get asked, right, is how does the holy priesthood relate to Revelation 21? So when you take a look at this master plan, one thing that should stand out to you is where and how are the material for this holy city obtained? Right? If you think about, if you're going to be building a city, building a house, anything, you need to consider the material that's needed to construct it. And if we don't know where the material comes from and how it becomes that way, then how can you build this holy city? And this is how it relates to the holy priesthood. Because the holy priesthood is God's wisdom in transforming you and I to being the material for this holy city. Right? So you want to think in terms of, as we spend this weekend time in Revelation 21, both John and myself, we will be speaking and fellowshipping in the conference. As we go through the description and this vision of this holy city, consider how the priesthood is, consider how the priesthood will work in us to transform us to be this holy city. From the time we started to get into this, these two actually were questions that have been asked so much that it causes you to think, okay, yes, how does this relate? And actually, as you spend more time, you will find the priesthood to be first fruit, kings and priests, all are interrelated with us becoming this holy city, the New Jerusalem. Right, so this is our prayer. Lord, open our eyes to show us this wonderful heavenly vision. You know? And, you know, since we're talking about that this is God's vision, you want to think about this a little bit in terms of, if this is the blueprints, the architectural blueprints of God's holy city, then we need to really seriously consider it, bring it to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, how is it that this relates to me in our daily life and in the church life? Consider this. You know, when you want to build a building, what's the first thing you have to do in, before you can even build the building? You have to have what? A plan, right? Beverly, you're an architect, right? And how important is it to have the blueprints before you build a building? Very. In fact, it's a requirement. You can't build a spectacular looking building without blueprints, the details, right? It lays out the whole building in terms of its dimensions, the design, the material. In fact, sometimes if you go into the construction document, the details and how it needs to be built to build this building, right? So let me ask you this. Today you all want to build the church, right? We've been speaking about the building up of God's glorious church. What's the blueprint? Have we considered the blueprints? Right? Today, everybody is talking about, and everybody gives their own opinion in how the church should be built. Right? I think amongst us, we all have different opinions. Right? How should the church be built? Do you think about that? Have you ever considered that? Or maybe you haven't, you just expressed your opinion. Well, I think the church should be this way, the church should be that way. Have we ever considered God's blueprints, God's vision for the church? If you look through the, if you look at your outline, we give you a few examples in terms of God presenting a plan to different men of God and how they responded in receiving God's blueprints. If we go all the way back to Genesis, the building of Noah's Ark, right? You remember that? If you go back to Genesis chapter 6, and if you look at the verses that speaks about the building up of the ark, God gave Noah some very specific instructions, right? Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how ye shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. And ye shall make a window for the ark, and ye shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. And ye shall make it with lower, second and third decks. Right? God was very specific in terms of how Noah should build this ark. Now, what do you think Noah did? Did he build it with his own opinion and with his own judgment, measurement, material for the ark? Right. When you go to when you go to the last verse of the chapter, verse 22, it says, "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did." Right? Imagine that, right? This is a construction of an ark that will save him, his family, and God's creation of all the animals, birds, every living creature that was on the earth at that point in time. If Noah did not build according to God's plan, what will happen? That ark definitely would not have survived. Right? It's the flood and the times after the flood. Right? So here you see an example of Noah being very exact in following God's command, God's blueprint for the ark. And then we continue on with Moses with the tabernacle. Right? What does it say there? If you go to Moses, if you read in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "Who served the copy and shadows of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." Right? And this is exactly what Moses did. When you read through Exodus, you see the details. You see the blueprints of the tabernacle. Not only of the structure, but even of the furniture within the tabernacle. Everything was built according to God's instruction, even down to the most detailed parts of hammering out the golden lampstand. Moses was faithful to do everything correct according to God's plan. This is for the tabernacle because this is God's dwelling place. Right? Beverly, if you're the architect and you're overseeing the construction team building your building and they don't follow it, let's say they decide they're going to interpret your plan a certain different way and it looks different than what you had planned out, what would you say to them? I couldn't hear, but what did you say that again? Huh?
She resigned.
You resigned? No, come on. You wouldn't resign. You would tear it down. And you would not pay for them to redo the work, right? Of course. Come on, that's what an architect does. No, I say this because what happened to me one time, or Sharon and I, we needed, our backyard when we bought the house was just a piece of dirt. And we actually hired an architect to come in to do the landscape architecture, to do the hardscape, the softscape, plus the pool. And the one thing this architect told me was this. He says, if you have a problem with your construction team in following the plan, you must call me. And he said, because if you don't call me, they're not going to build it according to plan. And this requires exact measurements. I didn't realize how important that was. And then, so we hired the contractors. They started working, grading the land. And at one point, they came, they knocked on my door, and they said, you know, this plan is wrong. It doesn't work right. And I said, what do you mean it doesn't work right? Well, we tried to measure and it doesn't fit the way the plan says. So I'm glad the architect told us, call him. And so the architect came over and I saw the two of them talking back and forth quite strongly. And eventually the architect, he brought out his tape measure and he laid out how it should look. And afterwards, the construction guys came back and they told me, he goes, okay, we measured wrongly by not more than an inch, I think. It was that, almost that exact, that they didn't measure correctly. And after that, there was, whenever there was a question, there was definitely no more doubt anymore that the plans were correct. And if it wasn't working according to the plan, they did it wrong. And they would have to rip it out and replace it. Not at my expense, but on their expense. Now think about it. God has laid out this wonderful plan, this heavenly vision in Revelation chapter 21. What is our attitude in building this holy city, the New Jerusalem? Today, have you considered, what are we doing here in the church? Are we building according to this heavenly vision? Or are we just doing things that we think is right in our own eyes? Because what we don't want to have happen is like what would happen to a contractor. They build something that is not according to plan, and then they would have to rip it out and rebuild it on their own dime. Now with God's plan, if we misaim and we don't build according to his plan, what do you think the consequences will be? Right? This is why it's important for us to ask the Lord, Lord, open our eyes to see this heavenly vision in Revelation 21. We don't want to, in these last remaining times, we don't want to build that is not according to God's plan. This is why it's good for us to see these examples. Moses was faithful to carry out the building up of the tabernacle exactly according to God's specifications, because this was God's dwelling place. Think about it. Your own house, Kimson, you have a nice house. If the architects didn't build it according to your plans, would you want that house? No. You would be very unhappy, and you might even not even want to move into it. Now think about God. How would God feel if we do not build according to his business plan, his architectural plan? Right. It was good to see also the example of the building of the temple with Solomon. Now, why is this example very interesting? Solomon was what? The most wisest person of mankind. No one wiser before him, no one wiser after him. If he's the wisest man, you would think, you know, you need a very capable, wise man to build God's plan, right? But, you know, what I liked about seeing this example of Solomon was, even with the greatest wisdom, he built according to God's plan. A lot of times we have, if we have wisdom in our, you know, we have our own wisdom, sometimes we think, well, we know better. We can build the church this way. My good idea is this. Your good idea is that. We all have good ideas. But with Solomon, even as the wisest man who should have the best opinions, what did he do? He built according to God's specifications for the temple. Right? Verse 10 of 1 Chronicles 28. This is the section in where David is speaking to Solomon regarding the building of the temple. So 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 10, it says, consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Right? Today the Lord has called us, right? We are all chosen to be part of this holy and royal priesthood. And he wants us to build together with him this dwelling place. So he's encouraging us, be strong and do it. And we go on to verse 20. It says, and David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. I mean, today we should realize as we are building together with the Lord, we're not building by ourselves, but the Lord is actually the one building in us and through us. Just needs our cooperation. And then, of course, when we speak about the church today, who is building the church today? Is it you, me? Or is it the Lord himself? Right? Remember in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, Abraham was waiting. He waited for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Right? This holy city, the New Jerusalem, the architect and the builder is God. And in Matthew 16, we all know these verses, right? I'm just reminding you of the verses. Matthew 16, 18, it says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So who is building the church? Who is the master architect? It's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who's really building. And the question for us is today, who really is building practically in the church today? And so this is why it's so important for us to know and to see this heavenly vision. To see the holy city, New Jerusalem, according to the details of what was revealed to us in Revelation 21. Right? And when we get into it, it's important then to see that the materials needed for this holy city, what kind of material is it that's being built? And that gives us insight in terms of what we need to do to prepare. Right? Today, I think most of us, in the fellowship, I often hear from brothers and sisters is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, right? When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw. This is very good for us to know. What is it that we are using? What's the material required for us to build? And if we are not aware of the building material, 1 Corinthians 3 also says it will be tested by fire. And whatever remains, then you will get the reward, but whatever doesn't remain, you will suffer loss. Right? So the material of this holy city then becomes important. We need to pay attention. It's good. Corinthians, Paul tells us of gold, silver, and precious stone. But even here now, as you go into the details of this holy city, the New Jerusalem, you see the elements, like the most precious stones, the pearl. Foundation has 12 layers of different stones. Right? And as you read through it, you realize, wow, there's a lot that we need to see how it can be applied in our daily life today to build this holy city. Right? So, if the Lord has given us this holy vision, the heavenly vision of this holy city, then we have to really consider, what are we doing today? How are we building today? I think it's a good reminder. You know, whatever we do, if we don't do it according to God's plan, then there definitely will be consequences, right? We go back to Leviticus chapter 10. And this is right after God has spoken concerning the matter of the priesthood and everyone has gone through the training. What happened? Leviticus 10, 1 through 3, it says, "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profaned fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Did you see that? And then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, 'By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified.'" So Aaron held his peace. Right? The consequences of not building according to this heavenly vision is serious. Of course, during this time, right, Leviticus chapter 10, this is in the Old Covenant, but this verse is applicable to us if we go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. Verse 28 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Right? So where did Paul get this phrase, "Our God is a consuming fire"? It goes back to Leviticus 10. Right. What we do today is crucial for us to build according to God's plan. Right. Remember, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. What does it say? "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Right, so this is something that we all have to have in our hearts, to realize that there is definitely consequences if we do not build according to this heavenly vision. It's a serious matter. And I'm thankful to the Lord that we are spending the time now in Revelation chapter 21. You think about it. When we read through Revelation 21, let's all turn to Revelation chapter 21. And let's read verse 2 and verse 10. Okay, so why don't you read verse 2 and then verse 10. What does it say? And in verse 10. All right, I forgot. I should mention to you in verse 10, if you look carefully at the little footnote in the side text, it's not the great city. It's actually, it should be the holy city, Jerusalem. Not great, but holy. Right, we have to remember the great city is Babylon the Great. Right, that's the city that we should not be building. But in this case, for God, it's the holy city, not great city. So please note that change in your Bibles. All right. So here, John is telling us, right? There is this holy city, the New Jerusalem, and it's coming down out of heaven from God. Prepare now at this point, because this is in a new heaven, this new earth, it should read as prepared as a wife adorned for her husband. Because the marriage feast has already happened during the millennial kingdom age, so it should read here, prepared as a wife adorned for her husband. Right? So this is the beginning of the vision that we should spend time in these next 2 days, 2.5 days. Bring these verses to the Lord. Consider with the Lord. Lord, what does this look like in my daily life? Right, if you think about it, this is, firstly, it's a holy city. The first description and the characteristics of this city is it's holy. Now my question to you is, how do we become holy? God commands us to be holy because He's holy. So how do we prepare to be holy? It's through the priesthood, right? What I'm really encouraged in talking to the saints just a little bit tonight is to hear that brothers and sisters are more and more practicing the priesthood and bringing the offerings in the feast meeting. This is very good because the more we serve in the priesthood, this is God's way to make us more holy. And this is the first characteristic of the city, right? And it's also a city, what? Coming down out of heaven from God. What does that mean? Have you considered? Coming down out of heaven from God. That means whatever relates to the sea cannot be earthly. And who is the only one that came down from heaven from God? Who? Jesus Christ. Right? The Lord Himself is the only one that came down from heaven, out of heaven, from God. So then it becomes very important then to see, wow, whatever we do in the church today, it must come from above and not from below. Even your wisdom. What does James say about our wisdom? What is our wisdom like? Huh? No, if it's our earthly wisdom, what does James say our wisdom is? Not just foolish, what? Demonic. Yeah, that's how strong James says about our earthly wisdom. If we're using our earthly wisdom to try to build this holy city, James says it's demonic. That means our wisdom must come from above. And James did say we should ask the Lord for wisdom from above, and He will give it to us abundantly. Right? So when it comes to the matter of building this holy city, we always have to draw from above. Right? These are just the first two items regarding the city. But if we are faithfully learning to practice the holy and priesthood, the holy and royal priesthood today, this is how the Lord begins to transform us so that we will have wisdom from above. Right, wisdom from above, the renewing of our mind. That's the burnt offering. It's also the meal offering. I don't know if you thought about that. Right? And so, as we get into these different aspects of the city, you should already begin to see, wow, this is my experience of the Lord as the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering. You have to consider this. Ask the Lord to reveal it to you, right? And then in verse 10, right? And this is what we pray, is the Lord has to carry us away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, not to be distracted, to show us this holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven, having the glory of God. Now, what is that? That's the third description of the city. Having the glory of God. What is that? What is the glory of God in your mind? Have you thought about that? Well, how does that look like in your daily life? I'm going to keep asking that question. Everything we talk about, you have to ask yourself, how does it look in your daily life? So, the glory of God, what is that? What's, yeah, but what does putting on Christ mean? I'll tell you what other Christians say. The glory of God is the numbers. We have to have thousands of people. That's the glory of God. The glory of God is filling a stadium and preaching the gospel and they all get saved. That's the glory of God. Is that the glory of God? Is that the glory of God? What does that phrase really mean? You see, you have to think a little bit. The glory of God is what? God manifested in the flesh. Go back to John chapter 1, verse 14. What does it say there? John chapter 1, verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The glory of God. Was this the numbers? John chapter 1, verse 14. Were we talking about tens of thousands of followers of Jesus who were saved? No. It's talking about the Word became flesh, meaning God Himself became a man, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. I mean, it's God manifested in the flesh. And if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. So, what is the glory of God? God manifested in the flesh. That means God manifested in each one of us in our daily life. And what offerings would help us reach that goal of being manifested in the flesh? Think about it. Burnt offering, a meal offering, very good. Burnt offering is to be one with God the Father. Not just to be obedient, but to be one with the Father. The meal offering, because it's the perfect humanity of Jesus being expressed through us. Of course, you need the sin offering to overcome the flesh. And ultimately, you need the peace offering to be fully reconciled to God and fully reconciled to man. That will be the full expression of God manifested in the flesh. Right? So we're going to get into all these details regarding this vision, this heavenly vision of the holy city, New Jerusalem. It's got to become practical because this is what we're aiming for. You want to be a first fruit, then we need to make sure we reach the goal of seeing what this heavenly vision shows to us. Right? I just gave you a little bit of sampling in the next 2 days. We'll get a little bit more into the details. But the conference here is really, firstly, to bring us to this great and high mount to see what is out there. But what will be more important is how we go on in our daily life, for this vision to be worked out practically in our daily life. And of course, then, for that to happen, we need to continue to practice this holy and royal priesthood. Right? So may the Lord wake us up, open our eyes to see this wonderful heavenly blueprint from our architect and our builder, who is God Himself. This is what He wants. And we pray that we would also see what he wants and to be one with him to accomplish his purpose. Okay? Amen. So, praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Ja rahe hain Nico, ja rahe. Kaun? Amen, amen. Ye jeev rahe.